Hi, welcome to episode 7 of ChrisCast. My name is Chris Abraham, and today we're going to be talking about American superstition and American spiritualism. Because over the last 10 years, in my entire life, I feel like there are many people in America that believe that America is much more scientific and rational and modern and sophisticated and technological than we have any credit giving ourselves. I believe that America's a super form of our high schools, of any type of 80-20 institution where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work and 80% of the people are doing whatever's left, I guess 20% of the work. For a time there, when I entered into academia at the university level and then continued on to having smart friends and living in smart cities like Washington, D.C. and Berlin, Germany, and even, you know, even Honolulu, though there's a lot of superstition there and a lot of spiritualism there, I still was surrounded by a lot of liberal elite people. And especially when I was invited to become an attendee of Renaissance Weekend, there was nobody around me who wasn't a technologist, a programmer, an academic, a lawyer, a scientist, a philosopher, a writer, and of course doctors and therapists and psychologists and so forth, all of whom have very strong, strongly rational beliefs in a universe of matter and energy that can be broken down to a nano world and a macro world and a cosmic world. Cosmic being the astronomological way of defining cosmology, not the astrological way of defining cosmology. But over the last 10 years, probably 20 years, and we'll go into Hawaii animism later, and we'll go into my personal beliefs later, and we'll go into my spiritual beliefs later, none of which are traditional. But for now, I just want to kind of discuss my obsession with Coast to Coast AM. Also with Dark Matter Digital Network, with Midnight in the Desert, and Dave Schrader, I believe his name is, and of course George Norrie and Art Bell and Ian Punnett and all the Georges that make up that entire world. And I'm completely fascinated every day by the number of people who are obsessed and compelled by numerology, by spiritualism, by ghost hunting, and not in an ironic way, cryptozoology, such as the pursuit of things like the Jersey Devil or the Chupacabra, or of course Bigfoot and Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, etc. An obsession with the paranormal, such as ghosts and demons and possession and psychic vampirism and the concepts surrounding hexes and putting people, having spiritual battles between light and dark and good and evil. I've even seen or heard George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM comment as to how quickly all the call-in lines light up when they have someone who is willing to tell the future or tell the past or talk to a dead relative or read their numbers or their astrology or their their zodiac to them. And I believe that, and that's not even including traditional traditional and non-traditional religious beliefs, such as, of course, Christianity, Catholicism, people who believe strongly in evangelical Christianity, Kabbalistic Judaism, which purports to be rational. But, you know, if you explore the Kabbalah or any type of devout orthodoxy in Judaism, it's as irrational as any other type of paranormal or spiritual theory. And so far that while it does maybe break everything down to numbers, symbols, forms, and even mathematics and geometry, that doesn't mean anything, right? That doesn't mean anything. The moon doesn't mean anything. The stars' alignments don't mean anything. Gravitational pulls between peoples and the stars and so forth don't mean anything. At least they don't mean anything to the people who self-report themselves, who self-report as rational, agnostic at the best, and atheistic at the worst. People who believe that we are nothing more than moral animals, sentient animals who may be not even superior to animal kind or the animal kingdom, only benefiting from evolutionary advances in the brain and the coincidence of having our appendages placed in places they are, an opposable thumb, the ability to run and walk, the ability to use our hands in very sophisticated ways, and of course the vocal folds, the voice box that we have that allows us to communicate in complex verbal ways. But even those fully rational people often succumb to you know, very simple fears, irrational fears, irrational beliefs. But I'm not going to go into those. I'm going to go into the fact that even Christian religious people, even my fellow Episcopalians, throw shade at other spiritual beliefs, completely not recognizing the absolute insanity of a faith-based system where a God... I'm not going to even insult Episcopalians as to believing that God is a benign and beloved, not benign, but a loving Father in the sky. I would say that at least in the Reformation of Episcopalianism, there's a belief that, or a pursuit of the ancient church, of the old church, a church that is much more metaphysical than literal, a Bible that is much more philosophical and illustrative than literal. And even so, there is a great devotion to that which is transcendent, to that which is part of a spiritual world, a belief that we existed before birth and that we will exist after birth or after death. And that we can commit our lives to grace, kindness, and love that transcends the ability of man on his own, or even in community, in that we believe in God, our Father, and Christ, and the seen and the unseen. And in many ways, it's exactly, there's nothing different aside from the hubris and arrogance of believing that your monotheistic deity is in fact true, and Scientology's isn't, and Mormonism's isn't, and there's no such thing as Buddha. Buddha was a man, but no such thing as the Buddha nature or the Christ nature in other faiths, that the only one path to transcendence in heaven is through Jesus, or through the Catholic faith, because in many ways Catholicism does not acknowledge any other Christian traditions. I was told very candidly that while it was nice that I was pursuing Catholicism light and Episcopalianism, I needed to recommit myself to Rome, and I needed to go to, I needed to confess my sins, and I needed to be right with the Catholic Church and return to a state of grace where I could receive communion. So that's very specific. And that's very exclusive and excluding and exclusionary. Same thing with, in my opinion, with the tribe and with many other belief systems. And one of the most important things that I've discovered over my thoughtful pondering, if it is thoughtful, I know it's pondering, is that I remember during the various and sundry 1980s, 90s, and 2000s dips in the Russian economy. I know that how we loved to humor ourselves on the backs of the poor Russian people, who always tended in times of struggle to retreat to spiritualism. And by spiritualism, I mean, let's see if I can get two other definitions of what that is. Alexa, what is the definition of spiritualism?
Spiritualism is usually defined as the belief or doctrine that the spirits of the dead, surviving after the mortal life, can and do communicate with the living, especially through a person, a medium, particularly susceptible to their influence. For more, ask me to give you more definitions for spiritualism.
Alexa, give me more definitions for spiritualism.
I have five more definitions for the noun, spiritualism. 1. The practices or phenomena associated with this belief. 2. The belief that all reality is spiritual. 3. Any of various doctrines maintaining that the ultimate reality is spirit or mind. 4. Spiritual quality or tendency. 5. Insistence on the spiritual side of things, as in philosophy or religion.
Well, there you have it. I'm going to ask Google too, okay? Here you go. Hey Google, what is the definition of spiritualism?
Here's the definition of spiritualism: a system of belief or religious practice based on supposed communication with the spirits of the dead, especially through mediums.
Thank you. Well, there you have it. I dare say that Christianity would respond to that. And I know and I believe that Hinduism and a lot of other animist faith and a lot of polytheistic faiths also believe that there are, in fact, demons and possessions. I know that a lot of evangelicals and Orthodox Christians believe that we are in a struggle, a war between good and evil, through between Satan and God, between the angels and demons, very literally, like second coming, horses of the apocalypse kind of thing. You know, I had some really weird experiences growing up with the with those sorts of things in Hawaii. I've never really had any experiences with ghosts, but I've definitely had some weird experiences with Ouija boards. And I don't know, of course, whether or not it was my mom moving the board or the shuttlecock or the whatever it's called on the board, or whether it was some sort of trick, or I don't know. But I know that George Norrie in Coast to Coast AM is afraid of Ouija boards, and I know that growing up, my friends who were Christian, and I didn't realize how Christian a couple of them were. I really didn't. I don't think we talked about it. You know, I never went to church on Sunday, but I think a lot of them, a couple of them, were very devout Catholics, and I think a couple of them were, in fact, you know, erred on the side of almost being Orthodox, Orthodox Christians, but not Eastern Orthodox. I mean, letter of the law. I mean, evangelical. But I know that Screwtape's letters was something that we read, and that was about Screwtape, who is a minor demon who is busy seducing men and women to making their own sins, whispering in their ear, "The devil made you do it." And so I think that the literal existence of a pantheon of evil, of Lucifer and his demons interacting with us every day, trying to aggressively fool us into believing that either he doesn't exist, or by secreting, I don't know, dinosaur bones into the stratus, into the striated levels of history, and convincing us that the world isn't 3, 4, 5, 55, 4,500 years old, and that we live in a world of millions and millions and billions of years, just doesn't cut it for people who literally believe in the Word of God. And there are more of them than there are of, quote, us, because, you know, I would say, am I an animist? Do I believe that we're all manifestations of energy and we're all interacting in a way that is convenient and consensual? For us, the concept of consensus reality. I don't know, would I live in this apartment if I felt that way? Anyway, on the surface, I like to believe myself as a rational man. I don't know if my friends agree with that, but I definitely do not believe that the world is either angels or demons. I don't believe that every evil thing that has ever been done has been done because of the devil or because of the weakness of the flesh. In fact, my friends are angry at me as to how many seductive situations that I've been able to just walk away from, no matter how drunk or out of control, or, you know, I just realize that every action has consequences. And so if I was a priest, I wouldn't have sex. If I was a teacher, I definitely wouldn't have sex with students. If I was a, you know, I mean, these are just things you don't do. These are not things you want to do desperately and then do and feel terrible about. These are just things that, so in my opinion, a priest should be able to have a lap dance every night of the week and then be able to go home not having had sex with a stripper, right? I don't know if it's fair to restrict people of the cloth from masturbating. I believe that that's just a natural process. I believe that that's not even to me, sex is a two-way street. So I do not necessarily, I do believe oral sex is sex, but I don't believe masturbation is sex. I believe masturbation is sensual and sexual, but isn't sex. I believe mutual masturbation or masturbating someone else's sex. However, the older I get, maybe I just even believe it's therapeutic. I've decided to stop being all judgy about people who go to massage therapists and so forth and receive a happy ending. Like, I'm just not willing to waste my time feeling any judgment for people who do these things as ways of expressing themselves. In the 80s, I got really angry at... it's neither here nor there. I just think that if you're going to do something shitty, remember that you're going to bring it home to your own spouse. And if, you know, if you're doing something risky and you end up with AIDS, and you bring it home to your spouse who doesn't know anything about it, and you give her AIDS or give him AIDS, that's really terrible, and have a hard time forgiving that. I don't know. But back to spirituality. I pray. I pray a lot. I don't pray as much as I used to or would like to. I pray the Our Father and the Hail Mary whenever I'm doing long trips or whenever I get into an airplane or whenever my friends are in need, or I'll throw a Hail Mary and a Our Father when anybody even remotely says that they need a prayer or are going through something or have friends going through something on social media. That's what I mean when I say that you're on my prayer list. I don't keep a literal prayer list, but I definitely do. I don't do a novena, because first of all... Hey Google, what is a novena?
According to Wikipedia, a novena is an ancient tradition of devotional praying in Christianity, consisting of private or public prayers repeated for 9 successive days or weeks.
Wow, difference between 9 successive days or weeks is, well, I guess you would do it once a week for 9 weeks or once a day for 9 days. No, I probably should do a novena. Hey, Google, remind me to do a novena.
All right, do a novena. When do you want to be reminded?
Tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
Okay, I'll remind you tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
Hey, Alexa, remind me to do a novena.
When should I remind you?
11:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay, I'll remind you tomorrow at 11:30 a.m.
Hey Google, start a novena on my to-do list.
Sorry, to-do list is not yet supported.
Hey Google, put a novena on my task list.
Okay, I've added a novena to your shopping list.
Ah! A novena on my shopping list. Alexa, can you add a novena to my task list?
I've added a novena to my to-do list.
That was fun, guys. Thanks for doing that with me. Growing up in Hawaii, I was there since I was 6. And, wow, it is definitely at the crossroads. It is probably almost like growing up in Ireland. We believe in everything in Hawaii. We believe, you know, if people don't actually believe it and they just story tell to freak people out, nobody winked at me. So honestly, I believe in the spirit world. I believe in menehunes. I believe in night marchers. I believe in Madame Pele. My mom and I saw Madame Pele on the Big Island during and even after eruptions. Honestly, whenever I see an old woman by the side of the road or an old woman in general, I always give her as much money as I can spare, because Because two reasons. One reason is Madame Pelé oftentimes shows up in our world as an old, frazzled, homeless, or crazy woman, or an old, grizzled old lady. And so I am more likely to give money to homeless women than homeless men. I don't like men, so why would I give men money? And because I, honestly, if I think about my Christianity, I went to an all-boys Catholic school that was Marianist, not Marinist or anything up, but they were called the Society of Mary. And to be honest, I feel like over the last, hey Google, how many years has it been since 1983?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that. I'm still learning.
Oh, dummy. Alexa, how many years has it been since 1983?
1983 ended
35 years ago. Wow. 35 years ago. So I started being indoctrinated into the Society of Mary in 1983, 35 years ago. And then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Actually, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Yeah. So 6 years, which these days seems like nothing, but between 13 and 18 is a lot of indoctrination. And even though I fancied myself a sophisticated city guy whose parents were both Manhattanites, and I had a cool, smart London girlfriend, and I loved Carl Sagan and Cosmos, and read way too many books about science, astronomy, relativity, and of course, as Mark Harrison, my friend, knows, I had a strong interest in both terrestrial zoology and also marine zoology. And even I, man, I love me some Mary. I love Mary. I love Mary, Mother of God. I believe that Mary is the hostess is the hostess, and she lets you through the door. I know, you know, in the Bible it says you got to get to know Jesus to get to know God, and that Jesus needs to know you before you come knocking at his door. But I've got all my money on Mary, and I love goddess worship. And if Mary allows me to do and perform goddess worship, and if I can, in my quasi-Santorian brain, conflate beautiful, beautiful, fiery Madame Pelé with beautiful, beautiful lady in a blue dress, Our Lady of Peace, our sweet Mother Mary, comforting us into one person, then I am happy about that. I am comforted, and that makes me happy. But in Hawaii, I mean, there are even Buddhism and Shintoism and all the other variations of Asian belief, and including even Hindu belief was in Hawaii when I was growing up. And so according to those beliefs and according to Christian beliefs, there's demons and dead people everywhere. And I remember my friend, I think it was James Chan told me, but it might have been Miles Maeda or something. I think James was really, you know, being Christian. I wasn't Christian at all at St. Louis. It was really funny. I even told my mom that I didn't have to get confirmed. And she didn't make me. I ended up getting confirmed as an Episcopalian years later. So I am baptized Catholic. But then I left the Catholic Church. And I moved to a cute little parish called St. James's. That's an alarm that I'm supposed to swing the kettlebell, so excuse me. Back when I was dating Michelle Nolan, and she was an Episcopalian, and she, we discovered Father Downing at a at an animal blessing. So, oh, what was my point there? I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, so my buddy James told me a story. I think it was James. He lived with his grandmother and many extended families in Hawaii. He lived with his grandmother and his mom and his dad and his brothers and sisters, I guess. And he was, you know, everybody lives close to each other in Hawaii. And he was in his room and he heard the next door neighbor was having a party. And it was loud. And there was the clinking of dishes. And there was the clinking of glasses. And there was music. And there was people talking. And he couldn't really make out anything. And he was trying to get to sleep for school. So he tried and tried and tried. And finally he got up, opened his window, looked outside, and the house next door was dark. There was nobody there. So he sort of freaked out, and he got down on his knees, and he started praying to Jesus, and, you know, dear Jesus, banish this evil, banish these demons, protect me, surround me with your light, those sorts of things they tell you to do. And he went to, anyway, the party stopped. It ceased. Poof, went away. All the sounds, all the noises stopped immediately. Right now I'm supposed to stop swinging a kettlebell. And went to sleep, had a beautiful sleep that night, no dreams or anything. Woke up and his grandma was pissed. Oh, man, like, she had a very real relationship with the deceased people in her life. I believe that this is commonplace in Shintoism and some Buddhism, and I know that Hindus believe it when you worship the spirits of your family, your deceased family, your extended family, your relatives, your all the way down, all the way back, in addition to your guru or your so he went ahead and he sent all of grandma's friends packing, and she was pissed. Ooh, that was a really awkward breakfast. And I believe him. Why would I not believe him? You know, I don't believe that all talk stories around the campfire are just about ghost stories that have no meaning and are meant to shock or scare. I believe that if you let people talk, if you let people share, if you let people understand that they're not going to be judged, you're going to realize that a lot of people around you believe in the paranormal, believe in space aliens, believe in God, believe in a higher power, believe in demons, believe in temptation, believe in the devil, and then if they're not good people, they're going to go to hell. They believe in palm reading. They believe in numerology. All of my friends in Hawaii at some time or another go to this awesome Vietnamese soothsayer, and she reads tarot, and she reads, I don't know if she reads tarot, but you can always find someone to read tarot, to read your palm. You can always find someone who will do your numbers, who will find your zodiac down to the minute and the day, under what stars you were born. And these people aren't just doing it as a lark because they're at Coney Island and there's a crazy woman, Slavic woman from Dracula Land, that will, you know, give them a reading. Like, this is deep stuff. I don't know how literal or figural the belief in a grand architect is in the Masons, but I do believe that the prayers are sincere. I do believe that the desire to become better men is sincere. And I believe that the pledges and truths that the people live in my lodge are sincere and honest and honorable. I believe that... I believe that not every single preacher in the entire world is running a multi-level marketing scheme on poor parishioners. I don't believe that every parish priest is in it for the career, and that every Episcopal priest is in it for the 70 to 80 grand, you know, and the place to live. I don't believe that theological seminaries are filled with con men and con women who are wink, wink, winking their way to the pulpit and spewing garbage that they want to feed us, the pigs, who will eat anything as long as it's called spiritual food. I believe my dad when he said he saw a UFO. I believe that he was with Mary Vandeven when he saw it. I believe that he saw a ghost on a lighthouse. Was it on Molokai, Lanai, or Maui? I don't remember. Could have been a trick of the light. It could have been the... some people believe that it's a real ghost. Other people believe that it's the lighthouse reflections. People believe that there are poltergeists, that there are... that people believe that Halloween is the thinnest point between here and the other. Other people believe that there are ley lines, and that the earth is an organism, and that we and she and it and us and the universe are all part of a giant god or goddess trying to get to know his or herself. That we are, in fact, of God in an attempt to know each other and ourselves. There's an infinite number of beliefs. I've heard people routinely believe that... anyway, we'll go into all these other things. But they've been, people believe that there are 5,100 different species of aliens, that they live among us. People believe that there are... people believe strongly that the royal families are shape-changing reptilian aliens, and people believe that people with Rh-negative blood are hybrid alien-human hybrids. Oh, there's so many beliefs, and if you want to compare those beliefs to the rational, just stay up until 1 o'clock and get on to... you know, go on to one of your, go on to iHeartRadio and ask for WFLA, or ask for 1190 KEX. Or if you can't wait, just go onto YouTube and search for Coast to Coast AM, or search for search for Art Bell. So much good stuff, and all of it is by definition proof positive that when we used to go ahead, and this is a real parenthetical, during the 80s, 90s, 70s, we used to make fun of Russians, because during times of darkness or insecurity, or during times of sadness, or during times of hunger, that perfectly rational space age Russians would resort to spiritualism and going to readings and numerology and palm reading and tarot reading, and they would have their guru and they would refer to spirit and God and ask for the future to be read in the bottom of a glass of or a cup of tea, in the tea leaves or in chicken bones. Man, you know, Russia is just a mirror of America. We're a really big, ununited, dumb country that believes in everything very strongly. That's one thing that Russia and America shares. We're true believers, although we don't know quite what to believe. It's all over the board, but whatever we believe, da, we believe it. We're willing to fight over how much we believe it. So when you hear people say that Nancy Pelosi is a demon, they're not speaking figuratively. What's the InfoWars guy? That crazy guy. Maybe when he says it, because he says he's an entertainer. Maybe when he says it. Hey, Google. Who started the website InfoWars?
According to Wikipedia, InfoWars is a far-right American conspiracy theory and fake news website owned by Alex Jones.
Conspiracy and fake news website. But the guy's name is Alex Jones. So yeah, I agree that InfoWars is fake news, and I agree that InfoWars is a conspiracy website. And I can't tell whether or not Alex Jones is in fact a true believer or a con man. But when he says that Nancy Pelosi is a demon, he might be saying it just as entertainment, you know, as a showman. But when 80% of America hear that Nancy Pelosi is a demon, they translate that not into her politics are inconsistent with our beliefs, but rather they hear Nancy Pelosi is part of the demonic realm that are Luciferian and are innately shape-shifting, fetal blood, child sacrificing, shape-shifting reptilian aliens of the kind that conspiracy theorist and madman footballer, awesome, frickin' most entertaining dude, David Icke says. So look more into that, but I think that at the very least, people believe in imaginary men in the sky who love us and want the best for us. And there's way more of them than you. There's only 20% of you. I would dare say that there's only 5% of you. I would say that 15% are definitely foxhole Christians who will resort to the novena the moment one of their relatives gets sick, especially from the cancer. So, that's the end of my episode. I can't believe it's gone on so long. I don't even know what I said, but I do know that I could tell you I'm a skeptic. This is what I told Mark. I told Mark when he wanted to find out what I really believe. And I think what I believe is defined by the fact that for the last... Hey, Alexa, how many years has it been since 1988?
1988, only 30 years ago.
So for 30 years, I've been hanging out with homeless people in Washington, D.C. because I find their stories incredible and wonderful and amazing and stupendous and otherworldly. One of the best ones I had is I didn't go meet with the girl of my dreams because I got caught in a Roy Rogers with a dude who told me that he was the second coming. He was in fact Jesus, and he was going to end the world in an F-18 by dropping nuclear bombs on Washington, I guess. So from working at Miriam's Kitchen for so many years, and for hanging out with homeless people and, you know, crazy people for 30 years, I didn't really hang out with any crazy people longer than 30 years ago. But since 1988, I have had a constant deluge of madness in my life. And you know what? You're never going to get anywhere by fighting with someone who has a belief system that is not rational or not real to me. Like, I personally haven't seen any angels, unless that angel was in another human being. And the Pele that I saw was a beautiful woman, naturally embossed in the size of a caldera, side of a caldera. So it wasn't literally Madame Pele, unless one of those women I gave money to was in fact Madame Pele. I haven't seen a space alien. I haven't seen a UFO. I haven't been abducted. When I was on the vestry of an Episcopal church, was sort of like the board of spiritual and practical board of directors, I would even totally go to Holy Hell Week and spend all night Maundy Thursday making sure that the icon and the holiest of hosts was sat with, awake, as the disciples of Jesus didn't do. It's the Garden of I forget the name of it. Alexa, what's the name of the garden that Jesus and his disciples spent the last night in? Alexa, what is the name? Hey Google, what is the name of the garden?
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, answer my question. Hey Google, what is the name of the garden that Jesus and his disciples spent their last night in?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help.
Is it Gethsemane? Garden of Gethsemane? Anyway, I want to make all kinds of mistakes that you guys have to go in comments and send me voicemail. And is it Gethsemane? Hey Google, what is the Garden of Gethsemane?
Sorry, I can't help with that.
I totally have the name wrong. Alexa, what is the Garden of Gethsemane?
According to another Amazon customer, Gethsemane is a garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, most famous as the place where Jesus prayed and his disciples slept the night before his crucifixion, i.e. the site recorded as where the agony in the garden took place.
Woohoo! I think I pronounced it wrong, and if you asked me to spell it, I couldn't do it for you. So yeah, so Maundy Thursday, you sleep overnight, you stay up overnight with Jesus, and in my church, it's this beautiful consecrated sacrament that is put into this box called the something, the host container or something, and it's illuminated and looks sort of Eastern Orthodox, and you sit there, and man, like, people have amazing personal spiritual epiphanies and experiences. And the beautiful girl that I was with, who, because of insecurity, I had no clue was into me until later. Ruth? She saw, one might call it as being, having her eyes play tricks on her, but she saw the host float, and she saw all kinds of stuff. I don't remember right now, but I've never personally experienced anything like that. I'm told that when you're with someone who isn't living in this particular world, that you only make them angry by trying to convince them that where they're living doesn't exist and what they believe isn't true. So going back to my parenthetical, and this is also something that happens that they tell you to do with Alzheimer's patients. Live with them in the moment they're experiencing. Do not fight them over the time and the date. Do not convince them that you're not their husband, that you're their daughter or your son or grandson. Do not play their game. It's not cruel. It's actually the right thing to do. And so, according to Mark, because I am always willing to not just indulge, it's not a condescending thing, it's not noble obligation or a condescending noblesse oblige, which is redundant, it is literally, I believe you when you tell me that you, like a beautiful, wonderful Mormon girl named Janet told me that she literally speaks with God and Jesus like man to woman all the time, not just metaphorically, but literally. And I envy that so much. I envy that so much. And I believe her. There's no reason to believe her. She's Harvard educated. She's genius. She's rational. She's beautiful. She's successful. I believe everything you believe. And I don't believe any of it necessarily, except, you know, I mean, leitmotif faith, I believe everything. But I don't believe anything. It's hard to explain. When I'm in a church, I really pray so hard for God to reveal himself to me. And when I'm in a Buddhist country, I ache for transcendence and nirvana. There's a craving, but I haven't seen it in my life. I've had an Irish Catholic mother who had a lot of suffering. Oh, you know what? I had this great conversation on No Agenda Social yesterday, and it comes down, and this is my closing remark, because I'm approaching 60 minutes, which means I'm going to have to really squash this MP3 so I can get it up onto things. But it's the whole why, you know, if there's a God, why does he do such terrible things to good people, or why doesn't he stop war, or why doesn't he save kids from cancer, or why did he let 9 million Jews die in concentration camps, or why did he allow slaves to be held for, you know, hundreds of years in America or anywhere, or why does he allow child brides, all these things, and you know, I can just play it from anyway. Like, let's get rid of God for a second. Let's absolve him and remind ourselves that the worst thing... I know that we're brought up believing that really engaging with the world is the best way to make the world a better place. But to let you know, to tell you the truth, stop doing stuff. If everybody stopped doing stuff, the world would be a nicer place by default. Yes, true. Sick people wouldn't live as long. Sick people would probably perish right away, but they would perish in countries that could not sustain life. True. That would be really painful. Not doing stuff. Damn all you wealthy people, new money and old, who've decided to travel the world exploring and becoming, you know, more in tune with the beautiful world around you. You can both believe in global warming and yet consider ecotourism to be something that only you did. It's only your little thing, not a multi-billion-dollar business that is in fact putting deep gouges into very delicate ecosystems. I saw it growing up in Hawaii. I saw it. Like, as long as the tourists were happy to stay in Waikiki on the beach, it was fine. But when they became all eco-touristic, next thing you know, they were ziplining through the valleys and stepping on stuff. And the only place for long trails in Hawaii is for underage kids to go smoke their pot and drink their Budweiser and leave their bottle caps and their can tabs on the ground in the most remote parts of the island. But that's just indigenous people. I believe that anybody from some place is indigenous. So local boys drinking Budweiser at the top of Kalaipuhaku or Pali while smoking pot is just indigenous behavior. But yeah, so, you know, it took so much ingenuity to kill that many, to ever do a war. A war takes so much energy. Prison, death, you know how much energy it takes to maintain private prisons or to just stop doing stuff. Anyway, I'm out of time. I found out that Anchor FM has a 60-minute cap, so I need to keep an eye on the clock. But when it comes down to it, if you're on here this long, God had no part in doing any of these awful things. The devil had no part in doing any of these awful things. It's either the natural course of nature, of which I think we're part. I think that the most arrogant thing ever done by man is probably even being done by atheists, which is to believe that we're anything but part of the ecosystem. We're not above. We're not separate. We should be responsible for not pooping in our own water supply. But even with a loving God, you know, God cries along with us. Anyway, I don't have enough time to go into this right now, but I believe that God can exist perfectly in a terrifying, terrible world, because whether or not it's from original sin and whether or not his death on the cross has absolved us all of original sin is neither here nor there. We still, 20% of the time, we do awful things intentionally, and 80% of the time, we do awful, 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 terrible things incidentally through blowback and unintended consequences. And you can take that to the bank. My name is Chris Abraham. This is Chris Cast, Episode 7. You can reach me at Chris Abraham. You can text me at +1-202-352-5051. I'm at Chris Abraham on Twitter. I'm at Chris Abraham on Facebook. I'm at Chris Abraham on Instagram. And my company is, and I'm at chrisabraham.com. You can email me at chris@abraham.su, and I will talk to you soon. Mahalo.